This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. There are ghosts haunting the halls of Washington, the way the ghost of Jacob Marley haunted Ebenezer Scrooge.
As part of my penance, I have been sent to warn you.
And so you have.
And to offer you a hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits.
These are the ghosts of deficit commissions past, previous efforts to warn America and put America's finances on sound footing. This Wednesday is the deadline for President Obama's fiscal commission to come up with its plan to cut the deficit. Over the next couple of days, we'll borrow a little from Charles Dickens' holiday classic as we explore the challenge of ballooning deficits and the search for solutions. This morning, NPR economics correspondent John Itzde examines the decisions that led to the nightmare of trillion-dollar deficits for taxpayers.
There is no shortage of Marley-like spirits warning Americans of the dangers of deficits.
We confront a quiet killer that is eating away at the foundation of America.
That's former Senator Pete Domenici, leader of one of many deficit-cutting groups. But how did the world's biggest economy and most powerful government end up with deficits so threatening and large? After all, it was just 10 years ago that the Clinton administration handed off a large surplus to the new president, George W. Bush. Those surpluses were projected to continue, says Maya McGinnis, but they didn't.
We were running deficits in the past decade when we shouldn't have been.
McGinnis, president of the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, says the deficits of the past decade were produced in a number of ways.
They came from tax cuts that weren't paid for. They came from fighting two wars without paying for them when normally in our past we have. They came from the addition of things like the prescription drug program, not paid for, and high growth in government spending in general.
As a result of that uncontrolled deficit spending, says McGinnis, the government was taking on more debt when it should have been saving to prepare for the big Medicare and Social Security payouts it's promised to current and future retirees. Even so, the accumulation of debt over the past decade might have been manageable. But then the financial crisis hit. Millions of people lost their jobs, quit paying income taxes, and started collecting government unemployment benefits. Bailout bills and President Obama's giant stimulus package sent the deficit even higher.
All of these factors came together and just piled on the trillions of dollars of debt. And our debt climbed to levels that are well above the historical averages. And the problem is it's on a trajectory to grow even more.
Just 10 years ago, the national debt was $6 trillion. Today, it's more than doubled to $14 trillion. That's a debt burden that's got some investors beginning to wonder whether the U.S. government will fully repay them. So, the financial crisis and the unfunded wars, tax credits, and spending of the past decade are responsible for our current deficits. But by far the biggest driver of future deficits are the promises made to American retirees.
No longer will older Americans be denied the healing miracle of modern medicine.
This is President Lyndon Johnson at the signing of the Medicare Act in 1965.
No longer will illness crush and destroy the savings that they have so carefully put away over a lifetime so that they might enjoy dignity in their later years.
But now the cost of Medicare threatens to crush the whole federal budget, and Social Security benefits for the baby boom generation will add to that burden. Fortunately, there are many ways to fix Social Security's shortfall. For example, modestly raising payroll taxes, cutting benefits, or raising the retirement age. But Medicare is a different story, says Maya McGinnis.
When it comes to Medicare and health care in general, we just don't know how to fix it.
While a growing population of elderly is part of Medicare's problem, the largest threat is the rising cost of health care. If those cost increases remain unchecked, Medicare and Medicaid, the health program for the poor, could consume nearly a third of the total budget just 10 years from now. Americans can take some consolation that the deficits caused by the financial crisis are mostly temporary. They'll go away as the economy recovers and people go back to work and start earning money and paying taxes again. It won't be so easy to close the deficit gap opened by the tax cuts and new entitlements enacted during the Bush administration. Real spending cuts or added revenues will be required for that. But without a doubt, the biggest challenge for deficit wranglers is reining in the long-term growth of entitlements for the elderly. The president's fiscal commission hopes it can deliver a roadmap to lower deficits and debt later this week. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.
Tonight on All Things Considered, the politics of the present creates the pressure for deficit reduction.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Retailers opened their doors earlier than ever this Black Friday. They launched an aggressive campaign to get consumers to come out and shop. And many stores even stayed open yesterday. Analysts estimate this year will be better than last holiday shopping season, which was one of the worst in recent memory. NPR's Carrie Kahn checked out the Black Friday scene.
Black Friday really began on Turkey Thursday for Timothy Pineda. He started waiting in line at a Best Buy in Los Angeles yesterday afternoon. He missed Thanksgiving dinner, but said the deals made it worthwhile.
Oh, I wanted to get laptops there. You're saving like $200 on each laptop, so this is a GPS and a TV.
Kadisha Simeon wasn't going to miss any part of the turkey dinner or lose her place in line.
We paid someone $50 to hold our while we went and had Thanksgiving.
After the dishes were done and a quick nap, she was back in line at 2 a.m. By 6 this morning, Simeon had 3 discounted laptops, one for each of her kids.
If I could have you go right there to the blue X, we'll be next in line.
Dozens of employees were trying to direct the crowds through long checkout lines. Most carts were overflowing with electronics, video games, and HD TVs. Todd Barber, a security guard, got in early and got everything he was looking for.
So was it worth it?
Yeah, it's worth it. Yeah. Now I'm going to go home and sleep. I'm done for the day.
Barber says he made sure his credit card was paid off in anticipation of Black Friday. It took him all year to get down to a zero balance.
Now I'm going to put it right back up there again. Yeah. It's the American way.
Retailers are hoping consumers do spend more this year, especially since last year's holiday was so dismal. Kathy Grannis of the National Retail Federation says sales will increase about 2.5% this year.
We are seeing light at the end of the tunnel in terms of an improving economy, but at this point, we still need more jobs and more confidence in our consumers. But certainly we are encouraged by the fact that people are willing to spend a little bit more this year.
On average, she says Black Friday shoppers will spend about $350 today. It wasn't even 6 in the morning, and Chris Sled had almost hit that total.
I was in Macy's, because they opened at 4. So I was in Macy's, ran over there, spent about $300, came over here, and I'm about to spend some more money.
Macy's CEO Terry Lundgren says this is the first year he's opened stores so early.
Well, we did look at all of our competitors, and they were opening earlier and earlier, and so we decided to open at 4 o'clock instead of 5 o'clock.
Lundgren says if you can get customers first, that's where they'll most likely spend the bulk of their Black Friday budget. Lundgren says based on preliminary surveys, spending at Macy's may be up as much as 5% this year. But Jackie Fernandez, an analyst with Deloitte, says it's much too early for rosy sales predictions. She was out at the Galleria in Glendale, California all day. Fernandez says for most consumers, especially for families making less than $100,000 a year, the holidays are not going to be that jolly.
People are not spending. People are holding off on spending until absolutely necessary, and they're looking for good deals.
Fernandez says retailers made deep discounts to draw customers in, and it's unclear whether the increased sales will add to the bottom line. At the Best Buy in the Westfield Mall in Los Angeles, consumer confidence appeared to be as full as some customers' carts, although the gift of giving by some was in short supply.
Are these Christmas presents?
No, these are me. These are mine.
Todd Barber says it's been a rough year, and he felt like treating himself. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The holiday season, shopping season, has opened. Yesterday, of course, was Black Friday, traditionally the busiest shopping day of the year, when retailers hope to climb out of the red financially. Sleigh bells are jingling, our cash tills ring-ting-tingling. Deal-determined shoppers flooded malls and big-box retailers across the country hoping to snatch up bargains, like these folks who were out really, really early.
Got up at 3:30 to get out and get started. So we got here probably about 5 o'clock in the morning. We always say we're not going to, but then we see the papers and say, okay, well, this is a good price, so let's go.
My husband and son got up early this morning to go snowboarding and woke me up. So I thought, I don't have anything to do at home. I'm just going to come down. And I just thought I'd look at all the crazy people out here fighting for things.
That was Shane Thompson of Gainesville, Florida, and Lori Bielenberg of Salem, Oregon. Black Friday sales figures are not in yet, but this year retailers said that they've seen longer lines than in years past, and people seem to be spending more money. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from a marketing executive at Sears, but first, we're joined from New York by Dana Telsey. She's an expert on the retail industry and CEO of the Telsey Advisory Group. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And what's your immediate sense of this year's Black Friday? A good day for retailers?
I think it was a good day for retailers. I think it was better than last year. I think the traffic was there and the deals were enticing to people.
And is there a clear relationship between a good first day and a successful retail season?
Certainly helps to have a better first day. Typically, you get a lull period from this upcoming Monday until around December 14th. 40% of holiday sales typically occur between December 15th through the 25th.
Ms. Telsey, is there a retailer that you think is really getting it right this year, the right strategy at the right time?
I think Macy's is getting it right with localization initiatives and also with their upper-end Bloomingdale's chain. I think Limited is getting it right, both with Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works.
And what are they doing?
What Macy's is doing is the localization initiative for each different region. What Limited is doing is very carefully planned out launches, very competitive prices, and appealing product.
And as you look at the retail landscape, are you seeing perhaps permanent changes among retailers during a time of a continuously tough economy?
Yes, I think some of the changes include managing inventory levels much more carefully. I don't think they're overstocked like they would be in the past. I think they're managing their expenses very carefully. The holiday hiring is up from last year, but they're going to be very careful about who stays on after the holiday season.
So we'll see some good numbers from this holiday season, but unemployment might jump back up when we're done.
I think it stays where it is. I think a lot of these holiday workers are seasonal workers to begin with. I think you have to watch carefully going into 2011 that the pace of sales continues.
You anticipate a lot of returns?
There always is.
What trends are you following as the holiday shopping season continues?
As the season continues, we're looking at multi-channel, how important the internet is and how that is growing in comparison to how the stores are growing. We're watching traffic trends and certainly how deep the markdowns are.
And for the moment, how does shopping over the web compare, or what kind of slice out of the retail pie does it take from standalone retailers?
It's still very small. It's still a little less than 6% of overall retail sales. I estimate it to be growing significantly over the next few years.
And what do you see for the season following this when we get into 2011?
2011, I think price is going to become even more important. There are cost pressures looming from overseas, whether it's in raw materials, whether it's in freight costs. I think retail is going to have to manage expenses tightly in order to be able to maintain the same rates of earnings growth. I think 2011, if we could see some sales growth come back, that will be a very positive indicator.
Retail industry expert Dana Telsey, who's CEO of the Telsey Advisory Group. She joined us this morning from the studios of the Radio Foundation in New York City. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I've taken a hard look at what, you know, not like, hey, there was a new thing out, let's go buy it for $300. Instead of that, it's like, do we need that now, or can we wait till we have $300 spendable dollars before we get it?
I feel like in this time of year, I'd probably be buying more for myself when I'm out shopping. Something for myself, two things for friends and family. But this year, I'm trying to not splurge on myself and just save some money.
The economy has really affected my tuition, so that made my shopping habits less and less. I have no money to go shopping anymore.
We're trying to be a little bit more smart about what we spend our money on and find the good deals. And if we can find better deals online, we'll probably shop online. But if we find them in the store, we'll probably purchase them as well.
Ken Williams of Sheridan, Oregon, Jennifer Heaney of Fort Lauderdale, Krisha Dia, and Zaquise Ross of Atlanta all out shopping yesterday.